Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk today about the stewardship of Jesus. In Mark chapter 12, our gospel today, the stewardship of Jesus. First, I want to note that giving offerings, as we do in church, is nothing new. A little quiz, how long ago did giving offerings start? Think about that for a second. What book in the Bible do we first hear about giving offerings? Anyone know? Genesis. Very good. And where was that? Chapter 14, a man named Abram, gave a tenth, that's a tenth of all he had, to Melchizedek as an offering to God. The very first book of the Bible. And Jesus saw offerings in his day. It's nothing new, but it really goes back even further to the book of Genesis. So it's not something new in Jesus' day, but it is something important in the life of God's people of old. I want you to think of it not necessarily as a law, because it really wasn't a law. God didn't come out and say, "Now, Abraham, you need to give a tenth of everything you got." It wasn't like that. And also, I want you to see something else that we hear about in the Old Testament too. Remember the Sabbath day, which was earlier in Genesis, right? In the creation. What were people supposed to do on the Sabbath? Rest, right? Why? Because God rested when he created the world. On the seventh day he rested. He created 6 days, the seventh day he rested. Why does he want you to do that too? Because that's kind of like how he is, right? You're following in his pattern. You are his people, therefore do as God has done. You're following. It's an act of worship. It's an act of identity, showing to the world that this is who we are and this is what we do. The amount isn't as significant as the act and the proportion. Because God can use little or nothing. Or God can use a lot. But we shouldn't think that God's only going to do if we give this amount, like bless us or bring back his kingdom or something like that. Still, it pleases God to use what we have sufficient and also to teach about how it was given. That's the real issue in offerings and stewardship. It's motive. It's both the problem and the pleasure in this thing called the stewardship of Jesus. The problem. Well, we get a hint of the problem in the very first paragraph of our text today in Mark 12, where Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes who wear long robes and like all the nice greetings in the marketplaces, the places of honor at the feasts, and who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers as if holiness could be proven on earth on how others view you, by how long your prayers are and where you sit at the feasts. Oh, he's holy. He gave a lot. She's holy. Look how long she prayed. Those people must be holy. They're sitting up front at the feast." Just don't forget, appearances can deceive. Not all that glitters is gold, is it? And the second part of the problem, how did those rich people become rich that were given a lot in Jesus' day, as he observed people bringing offerings and putting some large sums in and others just a little bit? How did those rich people get those funds to put in those large sums? We get a hint of that in the text. They devoured widows' houses, right? They should have been helping the widows, but maybe they were mandating, maybe preaching and teaching, "Widows, you've got to give more." Or maybe mandating, "Oh, if you only give this much." They were devouring widows' houses, probably people who should have been keeping the money for themselves, devouring widows' houses. And yet, in just a little bit, he's going to talk about a widow who gives a lot. The deeper problem for us, because maybe we're not devouring widows' houses today. Maybe all of our income is from legitimate work, right? But the problem in our motive, how we justify how much we give to God, how we justify giving less than 10%, or how we justify giving 10%, or how we justify giving more than 10%, our hearts stray from remembering that it is worship, a sacrifice showing that we are God's in His image, and therefore we give generously and proportionally and a sacrifice. It strays from that to how much is enough to satisfy God for all His demands and all the times that I failed Him so that He'll just leave me and my family alone to make sure that I don't get hurt or that I get into heaven. How much is enough should I give? Jesus found something familiar and praiseworthy and a pleasure, not in how much people gave and how they were justifying how much they gave, but much pleasure and praiseworthiness in a widow who had less than all those rich givers that Jesus observed. And she actually gave out of her poverty. Now, why is that praiseworthy? But wouldn't it have been better stewardship for her to keep the money? After all, look at where the money's going to go. To the scribes, those who are devouring widows. Shouldn't have he made a big story about, oh, that woman should have never given a dime, not even a penny to those men. Look where it's going. It's going to decorate the coffers of the scribes. Wouldn't it have been better stewardship to give only a tenth of what she had and kept the rest for food or for savings? Perhaps. But it's kind of hard to break a penny. Have you ever noticed? The truth is, as we heard in the text, it was all that she had. Therefore, she gave God everything. Should we go and do likewise? No. But we should repent. And in thanksgiving, turn to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the one who became poor for your sake. And by giving all he had, so that you would become rich, that you would become righteous in God's sight, acceptable to God by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Not by works of the law, not by salvation through money, through offerings, or works or satisfactions for sins. In other words, think on this. What do you treasure? What do you trust? Your wealth and your abilities? Or Jesus' gift of his sacrifice of everything for you? That's the stewardship of Jesus. Seeing and sharing the value of things in life from God's perspective. This stewardship of Jesus demands nothing from you except to treasure and to trust it. But share in it because you value him. The motive for the stewardship of Jesus is to give as worship proportionally, sacrificially, in thanksgiving for what Jesus has done for you. Not to earn salvation, not to get God off your back, but out of thankfulness for the richness that God has blessed us with, to be rich in faith and rich in eternal life, rich in the forgiveness of sins, rich in all the things that God truly values in life. He doesn't care about money. He can make things out of nothing. But he values you and your heart, something that money cannot buy. Can you treasure and trust him also? Give, therefore, by sharing in the stewardship of Jesus, knowing that it's not what you earn, but what God gives to you and blesses you with. Give in freedom from the law. Give because you are restored in God's image through Christ to be givers sacrificially like God. Remember the Old Testament? On the Sabbath, why do you rest on the Sabbath day? Not to earn heaven, but because it's like God. And give joyfully. Because, as it says in our verse today from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Alleluia. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.